At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
With Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. The hump is back. Almost didn't happen. I'm battling a sinus infection, and I was like, man, I'd really hate to cancel that the 1 week we can do it. But here we are, special start time, 2 p.m. Jimmy, how you been?
Good, Sean. Good to talk to you, bud. Yeah, 2 o'clock Eastern is going to have to be the new time because of a life schedule change that I told you about.
Okay.
So I can't help it. It is what it is. I think some people might not mind or might even like it better. Does it affect your schedule at all?
Not really. I sit around till 3 p.m. just collecting that check, man. That's all I do.
That's all you do. That's all you do.
FightfulSelect.com is going to have some very interesting news dropping today. You are going to want to subscribe to that. We don't do List Goes On anymore, but by God, we've got Sour Graps over there. I've got a show that I do every week with a Q&A and exclusive news. And then Steven Jensen does the Weekender. Also, we are on Discord over there as well, where I have a Q&A that runs all the time. But if you're here right now, get those super chats, get those humper chats in. That's how we dictate really what we're going to talk about on today's show, or really any show. But yeah, let us know what you guys want to see, what you guys want to talk about. I'll be at AEW Dynamite tonight. Jimmy, remind me never to Google September 11th Dynamite to find out what is on tonight's show.
That should be an easy reminder.
Yeah. That one did not produce results for AEW. It certainly didn't. So
it's that
man.
Yeah. Man, let me ask you a question, Jimmy, Sean.
Yeah.
Have you ever done it? Because you're a bit of a healthy guy, right? Like you're in the gym and stuff. Have you ever done a water fast? You ever done a water fast before?
No, I've not. I've thought about it, but no.
I'm on day number 3 of a 3-day water fast right now.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Congrats for that, I guess.
Yep.
I've learned that one of the prerequisites for doing a water fast is you have to tell everybody you're doing one.
Yeah. That's absolutely one of the reasons. Yeah. So as soon as I signed up for it, the water fast God said, make sure you mention him on the podcast this week. I said, absolutely.
But yeah, guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Drop a nice fruit emoji, something like that. Let us know that you're here. Get your super chats, humper chats in. Crazy 101 says, chances Motor City Machine Gun shows up tonight. And how about AEW on Fox? I have no info on Motor City Machine Guns. At this point, me and somebody else are theorizing that they haven't signed with anybody. They're just raising up their indie prices.
Good for them.
As they should
be, good for them.
Which is wise. But yeah, we'll be talking about the AEW Fox stuff momentarily. I would also encourage you guys to check out Beyond the Bell with Andrew Zarian and Rich. They did a great, great show yesterday talking about that. But I want to get to this big super chat that Scott Lopez sent. We'll spend some time on. It says, with so much happening in the landscape of pro wrestling, what are you guys wanting to see out of AEW and WWE for 2025? Will you guys be dropping an instant reaction video of when the Vince doc drops? I will not be dropping an instant reaction. I wish I could, but I will be on a plane to Grand Slam, AEW Grand Slam. I'll try to do something. Like I'll try to do some sort of stream in some regard, but I will be in New York as that happened. I had that planned or the trip planned before they announced that date. But, maybe we can orchestrate something. Maybe we can get John Alba on here and do a show with Jimmy that day. I think that would be really good, especially considering John is a legit newscaster, news reporter. I think that would be kind of good. So, yeah, what are you expecting out of that, Jimmy?
Out of the documentary?
Yeah.
I'm hoping for a lot of truth since it's not a WWE production, you know? Yeah. I read some things about how some executives, you would know more about this than me, but I've read about how some executives were not happy with the way Vince was portrayed potentially, or But I'm hoping that we hear some truths, because let's be honest, you remember way back when the lawsuit first dropped, because a lot of wrestling fans, they might not know Vince McMahon from the 80s. And this is the benefit of me being an older guy. When that lawsuit first dropped, you and I run a podcast. And the first thing that I said was it Rita Chatterton? Actually, it wasn't the lawsuit. It was when he first, the Wall Street Journal thing, I think it was. And I said, was it Rita Chatterton? And a lot of people didn't even know who Rita Chatterton was at that time. That's how far back Vince's reputation went. So a lot of people knew about his reputation. And so I'm hoping that we hear some truth from people that know him.
Yeah, I have a free post up on FightfulSelect.com where I talked to some talent, talked to some people involved in the company. And Brandon Thurston's been doing a lot of great reporting on this. He said that he heard that it's addressed right off the top. I was told by people, they believe that's because that a lot of people involved sort of wanted to get some of the people that might have glowing reviews of Vince on the show off the hook a little bit. But there's also like nobody I'm talking to is supportive of Vince at this point. And why would they be to me? Right. Like, I mean, first off, like in a private conversation, I'd probably be like, man, how on earth could you? Now, a couple of years ago, there were still some people like that, but none of those people are still holding on to that. In the conversations with me, I can't speak to how they are in other conversations, but here's an interesting note. Janelle Grant's spokesperson said that they were contacted, but an interview didn't come to fruition. I have made sure to follow up a couple different times and say, well, why didn't it come to fruition? Did they not follow up? Was there something required from one end or the other? And I wasn't given any information. They said that they didn't want to comment beyond that. And I'm like, well, maybe there's more to that. And I'm not saying that poses things badly for one side or the other. It's just a question that I naturally had based on the wording, because listen, spokespeople are very careful with their wording. They're very, very careful with it. So I'm like, okay, what led to them not having this come to fruition? Because it's very rarely as simple as just, oh, well, they just never followed back up. Because why would they not?
Yeah.
Why would they? You not, right? If the filmmakers did not follow up and reach back out to her and just ghosted her, I mean, that's doing a disservice to your audience. It's doing a disservice to Netflix, the people that are paying you to do the damn thing.
For me, I'm going to want to see the documentary and see how much time is given to the lawsuit.
Yeah,
because maybe that's the reason. Maybe they didn't want the documentary to be taken over by the lawsuit. You know what I mean? So I'm going to have to watch it and see how much time, especially when Brandon found out that they're starting it off by addressing that.
Sure.
Because I think they want to talk about Vincent Mann's whole background, you know, as a wrestling promoter. So maybe they don't want that to be dominated by the lawsuit, but we'll see. Once I watch it, then we'll have a better idea.
I want to follow up because this guy spent a good amount of money. What do you want to see more out of in WWE and AEW in 2025? I'll tell you what I want to see more out of. Both companies, I want your championships maximized in importance. I'm going to go up and down like the championships. There's too many, or you don't win to get a shot at them. Now, there can be some exemptions. Like if you got a U.S. title where for years it's been like the U.S. title open challenge or the TNT title open challenge. Like I got no problem with that. But when you've got the AEW All Out card and it's a bunch of people that are already champions competing for titles, I'm like, well, why do you need all those when you have to make excuses? Fortunately, Kevin Owens is very good at that, and he closes logic gaps. And he's getting a title shot off of a bunch of losses, and his character is like, oh, well, I don't deserve this. I'm glad they closed the logic gap where Cody said, yeah, but you got screwed over an awful lot when you were competing for the titles against the Bloodline. Sami Zayn, last time we saw him, he lost two title matches. But all of a sudden, Gunther's champion, and he's like, well, I'm the only guy to beat you. That one makes at least a little bit of sense. But when they don't have people winning on TV to get these title shots, and then the champions don't defend the titles for months, whether it be the AEW tag team titles, the Continental Championship, the WWE tag team titles, Sami Zayn and Jey Uso are now competing for singles titles when they beat the tag team champions.
Right.
New Day has won one match in months. That's what I want to see more of. I want to see it shown that wins and losses matter and championships matter.
Yeah, that's very valid. For me, I want to see WWE take advantage of the flexibility with Netflix, because it means that the gloves are off a little bit when it comes to the PG content. It means that you don't have to worry about a time constraint. You don't have to worry about a hard cutoff at 11 o'clock. And so I want to see them utilize that and take advantage of that. With AEW, this kind of goes into, I guess, our first topic about Fox. If there's any validity to that, and if that happens to come to fruition, they got to maximize that. I mean, that's a massive opportunity. If there's any, you know, truth to it, or if it comes to fruition, massive opportunity. You look at everything WWE did when they were with Fox, the NFL tie-in. I mean, the Khan family owns the Jaguars. It's such a natural, natural thing. So I would want to see them make the most of that, if that is a thing. But do you want to start with that?
Yeah, sure. Let me get through some of these super chats, humper chats first. We've got, who should Bobby and Lucha Bros' first feuds be?
Bobby Lashley?
FightfulSelect.com today, my friends. $5 a month. Lucha Bros, if you're in WWE, somebody they're comfortable with. So probably some Spanish language speaking talent. Although what you don't want to do is get in this habit of just completely grouping them together, which they have done in the past.
Exactly.
But I mean, apologies, guys, a little under the weather.
You think they're baby faces, Sean?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I just can't wait to hear stories about how, like, Shane Helms is backstage producing a match and he's like, all right, guys, let's maybe do this taunt 7 less times in that match. And then 3 minutes into that match, he goes, my fucker, like that. Like, he's just like, he did it 8 times already. I'm looking forward to that. They are going to make their money back on the masks alone. They are going to market these guys.
Yep. I mean, they look like action figures, both of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you see what Andrade's doing on SmackDown right now. You go out, you have slappers. Rey Fénix is going to have some slappers. Rey Fénix is very important for WWE to have, because I think the reason you have a Rey Fénix and a Penta, one, for merchandise, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they stay over. Fénix can do things that most human beings can't do. Mm-hmm. They just lost a guy in Ricochet that can do that as well. They're sort of replacing that in that sense. I imagine it'll probably be Legado or LWO, something like that. I could see something like that. I think, listen, I would also love to see Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio against the Lucha Bros on Raw. I think Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio should be teaming up.
Yeah, I mean, they've tried forever to find the next Rey Mysterio, and obviously Dragon Lee is someone that they're looking at. If Rey Fénix is healthy, he could be that guy too. Because Rey Fénix can go, but he can speak English, and he's somebody that I think could really go if they give him an opportunity. If they want to get heat, Dominic is so easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody that works with that guy is going to get cheers from the crowd. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with them, I guess. I guess there's no timeline or nothing yet, right?
No.
Yeah.
Amir says, Russell Voach reported that Saturday night's main event is returning in December. Is it accurate? You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it was that Orlando show. That Orlando show ended up being Saturday night's main event.
Right. Right.
That would make a ton of sense. That would make all the sense in the world.
I would love to see them bring back the old music. I know that they're corporate now and they're cheap, but I would love to see them bring back the Obsession song, In Emotion, and Take Me Home. When I was a kid watching that, Sean, I didn't know there was a meaning to Take Me Home as the finishing song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would love it if they brought that stuff back.
They used the War Pigs again this year for Survivor Series, and not just the regular version, the very acclaimed T-Pain version that Ozzy Osbourne says is the greatest cover of a Black Sabbath song that he's ever heard.
Really?
Man, that is an incredible version. Glad they're using that as well. But no matter where you are in the world, our friends at Nord can help you out. Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff. Any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful. I want to thank Martin Holmes, who just dropped me a DM, and he says, "Hey, Sean, YouTube chat isn't working. If you're wondering why it's so quiet on the hump chat right now." So I will encourage you guys, if you want to get your questions or statements in, go over to humperchats.com. That is H-U-M-P-E-R chats.com.
They just started coming back.
Well, there we go. By God. We resuscitated it. We brought it back, damn it. But let's talk about a big topic that FightfulSelect.com and also Andrew Zarian of Beyond the Bell reported an awful lot on. Do you think this potential new AEW show with Fox would spell the end for Rampage if it comes to fruition? Yeah, possibly. I do. Andrew has covered this so well, and he mentioned, like, this wasn't something that AEW necessarily wanted to do. They got their arm kind of twisted into that, and then they did Collision because of CM Punk. Had the CM Punk thing never happened, they would not have done Collision. Mm-hmm. They would be sitting there with 3 hours, and the way that they had it scheduled was 2 hours plus dark. Fightful Select had reported on this as well, Jimmy. When the Shockwave trademark was reported on, it conjured up talks within the TV world and AEW that there have been conversations with Fox. Now, we're going to answer a lot of people's questions, but Jimmy, I want to know what you think about this. I want to give our audience another opportunity to ask questions that they might want via Super Chats or Humper Chats, and you to ask some things that maybe I might have some insight on in chasing this down.
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard about conversations with Fox, I was nothing short of shocked. I guess Shockwave is an apropos name if that's the direction that they go. I saw, I think it might have been the FIFA Select report where, because Fox owns other entities, right? And so I think it was the Fox Select report, FIFA Select report, where they talked about maybe it could be FS1, maybe it could be Tubi, which is a streaming platform, which is a big, very popular streaming platform. Yep. Or maybe it could be the Fox network. If Fox has any interest whatsoever on taking AEW programming and putting it on Fox network, like Fox's actual network, if I'm Tony Khan, I'm doing whatever offer they throw at me, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine the exposure? Let's say if they ended up Friday nights at 8 o'clock on Fox network. Imagine the exposure for that show, even though they don't have the WWE notoriety, they're still doing 1.5 million viewers probably on Fox network.
I'd be shocked if they did 1.5 million in the US.
You think they'd do less?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I mean, they still do over,
especially
a million,
for
though.
The type of, I mean, listen, if you get 8 PM on Fox on a Friday, which I have not heard anything like that being on the table.
Yeah.
That becomes your A show.
Yes.
At that point.
Yes.
Like, absolutely. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Dynamite's going to be their A show, especially considering the amount of money WBD is going to throw at them.
Right.
But there were a lot of people that asked, well, why would Fox be interested when they're letting go of SmackDown? They were paying an obscene amount for SmackDown, effectively as a loss leader.
Yeah.
And they like wrestling. They like wrestling so much that a couple years ago, they were going to bring in MLW for Tubi, which to Fox, they're like, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
But it didn't end up working. It led to a lawsuit because a 2B exec got a little antsy in his pantsy and bragged about it. But just a couple months ago, Fightful Select had reported that they had been interested in a seasonal format wrestling show as well. They can sell ads for this show. This is something Andrew Zarian's talked about. like they don't have trouble moving ads for wrestling. It's mm-hmm. Fox. Like they can do it. It's just that the yield on it, the return on it wasn't working. And they had always kind of intended that as sort of the way that SmackDown was constructed. So it's nothing. It's not like a condemnation on SmackDown or anything like that, or WWE. The relationship soured a little bit around the pandemic and afterwards. And a lot of that had to do with Vince McMahon and how he handled the Fox relationship around there. Within a few months of the Fox deal starting, Vince was not going to SmackDown anymore. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't there. He showed no care to it. He would cover it. He would do it remotely. Then when the pandemic started, he was there all the time. And that made things worse. That made things even worse. So it's like the monkey's paw situation where they're like, well, damn. Then coming out of the pandemic, they didn't feel like it was given urgency or care or anything like that. Then when the regime change happened, I'm of the understanding that relationship adjusted and changed. It's so weird to think that that era is just completely over now. But for like, it wasn't a they hate wrestling thing now. It's just, it didn't necessarily make that much sense. Now, as people bring up, boy, would it be heavily censored on Fox.
Yeah, that's true.
One 60-minute bleep.
Yeah, it'd just be a black screen.
Here's what happened at AEW All Out, and then they just cut the feed.
That is true. That is true. They would have
1.4 million viewers for that. There you go.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I'm not a Tubi guy, but I'm familiar with Tubi, and it's like a top five app in iOS. Yeah. And so even that would be great exposure for them.
I mean, that is a true cord cutters app. Like it's not a subscription thing. It is, it is a straight up, we are making this cost effective thing. And like, I'm not going to sit here and say like, comparatively speaking, that the number that I heard thrown around for this seasonal format show was huge, but it's more than I expected the seasonal format show to get as far as a budget is concerned.
Right.
I'm not ready to drop that number publicly. I'll drop it in this private chat for you to see what you think of it as I work to verify that. And another detail that I don't believe I have shared with you in the past. But so, yes, that's one of the things that I had heard along the way. But it's not like they're not interested in wrestling. And I don't think WWE in the last few years had done anything to like harm that relationship. I think WWE did a pretty good job with SmackDown over the last couple of years, especially moving Cody over there recently.
And did you see the last episode? I mean, they did a real fond farewell thing for Fox as well.
Yeah. And like, as I look at the way that things are going now, there's also some very important things to detail about Raw and SmackDown. 2 hours starting in October through December as of now. Here's an interesting note that I also dropped on the post show on Monday. There was a listing that had SmackDown at 3 hours this week. I confirmed with WWE very quickly. They were like, no, SmackDown's going to be 2 hours. However, later on that evening when I said, just for clarity, 3 hours on Netflix, right? No answer. And a person in the company that I feel like would know or would need to know was like, well, I don't know if it's necessarily a guarantee right now. So
interesting. You think when you're paying all that money that you would want the 3 hours?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. For if you're SmackDown or if you're Netflix, you want as much as you can get.
Sure. Yeah.
Because you got to chip away. Like, I think they're going to sell ads on it as well. So
yeah,
you got to do that unless they have presenting sponsors for everything.
Yeah. And I figured they're going to do tiers, right? So if you're in a higher tier, maybe you don't get the ads and they just keep the wrestling going.
I don't care. I'm expensing it anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
This is like the one remaining streaming service that I have that I can't expense.
Oh, nice.
Like ESPN.
You found a way.
TikTok. Max is going to get expensed soon. Netflix is going to get expensed soon. There we go. Let's go. I should be able to expense my YouTube TV as well.
Yeah. My wife's going to be like, what do you mean we have to sell the new house? So when they go to 2 hours for the rest of the year on Monday, because USA is getting that for nothing, almost 25 mil, I think it is, for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Was that a WWE decision? Because, hey, if you only want to pay, this is what you get, you think? Or was this a USA decision? Because I'm thinking they want to use that as a lead in for a 10 o'clock show is my thinking.
Yeah. And you know, there was a really great point that Andrew Zarian had. It's like, man, SmackDown paid all that money, but it's a lead in for the news. Like, you can't benefit off of that. I discovered The Ultimate Fighter because of WWE Raw. I discovered right. Burn Notice because of WWE Raw. The only reason I ever watched Miz and Mrs. was because of WWE Raw. Think about how many people had their lives ruined by watching Crisley Knows Best just because of WWE Raw, Jimmy.
Never saw one episode. Well, yeah,
you should consider yourself very lucky.
I know. I've heard you talk about it. I'm interested to see what happens with Netflix. I just presume it's 3 hours because of what they're paying.
They should. Yeah, I think so too.
But we'll have to see. But yeah, it's going to be, I got to tell you, when we get a 3 month tease of a 2 hour Raw, it's going to be hard to absorb that third hour again. A 2 hour show is so much easier to absorb.
So yeah.
People are going to get, a little tease for 3 months or whatever it is.
Yeah. And I am interested to see what happens here. If I had my way, my personal preference, you'd have AEW Dynamite on Wednesday. You would have Collision Thursday. And then, I don't know, some sort of weekend show. Fox ain't going to do a 6:05 show, obviously, unless it's syndicated mm-hmm. or something like that. But I have always thought, and I saw a very good account on Twitter, SkyTel Wrestling, mentioned that, like, a good Saturday morning show, like maybe you want a more sanitized version for a younger audience or something.
Wasn't primetime wrestling on at noon or something back in the day?
Not primetime wrestling. Primetime wrestling was on in primetime. What are you talking about?
Not
Superstars.
Superstars was the syndicated show, so it aired in different times in different markets. But there was a weekend show on USA Network.
Oh, man. There was Mania, Action Zone. They had Blast Off on WGN. They had Livewire. I watched all
might have
of
been Livewire. Livewire might everything. Have been on, I think, at 11 in the morning.
I watched all that stuff.
Yeah,
like occasionally on Mania, you would get like Buddy Landell versus Bret Hart for the WWF Championship. And you're like, what? How is this happening? Action Zone was the show where Shawn Michaels and Shawn Michaels and Diesel versus Razor Ramon and 1-2-3 Kid happened. One of the best WWF tag team matches of all time happened there. So
Amos Cheek said it was All American Wrestling. That's it. Sundays.
Oh my God. I loved All American Wrestling.
That
too.
Was it. Yeah.
But, there's a lot of options there. And as somebody says, morning show also means you can broadcast it live internationally. People bringing up Shotgun. I have long thought that the original concept for Shotgun should be what ROH is now. Take it to completely unique venues that are starved for wrestling and do something there. That's what I think they should do there. But
yeah, it was weird watching wrestling in a bar.
I thought it was so cool. Cool Fool says, when will renegotiating for Peacock take place, or will Netflix get all the PLEs after 2026? We've got nothing to indicate that. Netflix will have a couple of years to decide if they do want that. If I were them, I'd probably try to go after that. But Netflix is probably also getting to that point where they want to make money, not overspend for money or overspend. But
my gut tells me it's going to go to Netflix because it's already going to be, I believe in Canada, I think we get the PLEs on Netflix starting in January. I think in the UK as well. And Hunter and Nick Khan have kind of indicated that as international contracts and other contracts expire, that, you know, they might look to move everything under Netflix. Technology wise, they'd already have it set up. All they'd have to do is just add the US whatever IP or whatever.
Yeah.
So I could see it, unless Peacock comes out and makes just an offer they can't refuse. Otherwise, I could see them making the jump.
What do you think happens to ROH? I think it might just continue as is. I know that the exclusivity thing was something they worked in with the Collision deal, and that's why they had to get rid of Dark and Dark Elevation. I could see a world where Dark comes back in some capacity. Because I know that they felt that was a very valuable show, but
get reps in.
get reps in. I mean, they're using these people. They've got them contracted for dates, get footage of them. Think of how many looks they had. Like when somebody gets signed by WWE, like Ren Sinclair wrestled for AEW. Thea Hale wrestled for AEW. Like all these people, you got AEW footage of them now. Can you see WWE and NBA collaborate in NBC when both companies will have programming on the network? Yeah, I could. I could definitely see some crossover there. I mean, we've already seen it with Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton talking about showing back up there. I think they're, you know, as long as they're safe, the stigma is probably going to be gone from pro wrestling, at least for a little while. Now, we talked about where we saw George Kittle say that he was told don't ever do that again when he had a clothesline. But like, isn't it wild to think that Malone and Rodman were allowed to have a match, Jimmy?
Yes. Rodman was dishing practice.
Yes. Like, two of the top players in the NBA for the two top teams were allowed to wrestle a match. It's insane to think.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Think that
it is, it is, yeah.
And
I mean, I think the collaboration is obvious. I mean, so many basketball players are fans of wrestling. I'm not a big basketball guy, so I don't know the guy's name. You might know him. There was a guy who saw Booker T when he was walking in through the arena going to play basketball for his team, and he saw Booker T and he like freaked out. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was Tyrese Halliburton.
Was that who it was?
That's who it was, yeah.
Okay, yeah,
yeah. He was that was on SmackDown a while back. Just won a gold medal in the Olympics as well. I was saying he should show up and do angle slams and stuff, like really play it up. But yeah, there will for sure be some crossover. And listen, if Charles Barkley really stays with TNT Sports and they don't have basketball, please get him to do some spots for AEW.
I thought he's retiring, no?
No, he said he's going to stick around and do his contract.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't care if he doesn't know anything. I want him there. I want him there.
Me too, just because he became an Edmonton Oilers fan last season.
God. JM Melagrito says, I think Dragon Lee is stuck in the Mysterio Vortex and needs to let go from LWO and to do something else like they did with Dominic. Same with Zelina. I think that Dragon Lee stands to benefit a lot from teaming, a straight up tag team with Rey Mysterio. I think that, you know, Alpha Academy isn't what it once was, and you need some good babyface teams. I think they'd be a great one.
I do agree, though, that the LWO thing's kind of run its course.
I agree, too. You know,
so,
BL says, damn, didn't know we started it, too. What kind of suspension should TK dish out for arson and attempted murder if the baseline is Brit suspension? well, I mean, you're talking about a kayfabe thing from Tony Khan or from the Young Bucks suspending Britt as opposed to a real life suspension. Like that's like kind of, you know, wading through the waters there. That was the joke, was that the Young Bucks didn't have a real reason within kayfabe to suspend Britt. So listen. And also for attempted murder. Yeah. Who knows? Can you confirm Shannon Sharp did indeed get hacked? I don't know. I know that Ryan Satin did, and somebody's on his account. Yeah. Somebody's on his account selling MacBooks or something.
Really?
He hit me up to let people know. Cause like a guy that we know and like was like, "Hey, did you get the money for the MacBook?" And he's like, "No, what are you doing? I thought everybody knew." Happy hump day. Can I get an AEW meet update? I can confirm AEW has never shown interest in Sean Stasiak ever. So there you go. There's your AEW meet update. Wardlow, he's not around. Miro is fine. Keith Lee, I got an update coming. Butcher is sort of without a blade right now because he had a blade surgery.
That's pretty serious. Yeah,
it is. It is. And he's a guy that a lot of people like. Uh-huh. So get well soon to him. But yeah, they got a lot of meat right now sidelined. I'm going to post some updates on some of those guys. I've got some updates on them. I'll finalize some details and get them up. KE775 says, does Rhea Liv end now at Bad Blood? And does Raquel return to help Liv? Listen, I don't know that the situation involving Raquel is something you can plan 3 to 4 weeks ahead. Because considering her physical condition, like they brought her back for Elimination Chamber. People that I had talked to said that she couldn't train nearly as hard heading into that. And then her condition flared up that weekend. So it's touch and go with her, which is very unfortunate.
Rhea Liv doesn't end until Rhea gets Dom in the ring.
Okay, fair. Full Match Wrestling, thank you so much for that. But, you know, if I were a betting man, I would say that Liv ends up retaining the title. And I am a betting man, Jimmy.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here to tell you about BetOnline AG. The highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, 25-plus year track record, safe and secure online environments, payouts in minutes, the fastest in the industry. You can bet big with their high limits and rebet functionality, the earliest line, so odds open before the competition, the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit, and we're talking on everything. Wrestling? They got it. MMA, they got it. Boxing, they got it. But hey, you know what? I know we're Fightful. We don't just live for that. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, racing, esports, anything you can think of. Not only that, this is exclusively where Fightful gets our lines from. If you hear us talking about lines on a prediction show or on our post shows, it is always from BetOnline AG. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
Great partners at BetOnline AG. They have been right on the money with all their predictions for months now. Like, I mean, you can almost set your watch to their predictions.
How close are your predictions to theirs?
Occasionally, I'll switch one up just to take a flyer, but I always note in our Discord, like, I think they're right on with these. So
interesting.
I mean, they've been on the money. Like,
have you ever bet on wrestling before?
Oh yeah, for sure. I've never done it.
I should try it out.
Yeah, you should. You definitely should. Use BetOnline. AG.
Do you want to talk about the next topic, or do you want to do? So the next thing I wanted to get your thoughts about is this discourse I saw online about how AEW All Out was too violent. And I posted my thoughts on it. I ended up getting like 100,000 views because I guess this is something that people were interested in. My first question for you is, because the only thing that I had any issue with, and I didn't really have an issue with anything, but the only thing that I had any issue with, I guess, would be the chair shots with Hangman and Swerve. I wanted to ask you for your insight into that. I'm sure that was probably planned out, you know, it was a gimmick chair, all of that.
Yeah, I know how they gimmick the chair. It is something that AEW has done, perfected, and figured out. I don't know if I need to go into all the details on how they do it.
Well, but I thought it was because the last chair shot, the last time Hangman hit him, the seat popped right out.
There you go.
So
It's held together very loosely, and it is thinned out significantly.
Right.
And
right.
It's like to the point to where it's like a cookie sheet or something like that.
Yeah. But well, the other stuff that people complained about, like Moxley putting the bag over Brian's head, Chris Statlander maybe bleeding in the thumbtacks, Hangman with a syringe in the mouth. I posted this on Twitter. I grew up a wrestling fan in the 80s. I grew up watching, you know how we talked earlier about afternoon wrestling? I grew up watching Abdul the Butcher against Bruiser Brody in the middle of the afternoon on a Saturday, you know, in international wrestling out of Montreal. I grew up watching Piper Valentine in the dog collar match, Magnum TA Tully Blanchard in the I Quit match. Those were violent, bloody feuds that I think today are revered. I think people look back at those feuds, if you're a wrestling fan, fondly. Nothing at All Out was more violent than that. Like, nothing. And so I didn't really have a problem with anything. What were your thoughts on it?
I don't have a problem with it. I just don't. Like, I look at pro wrestling as a TV show. And I see far worse stuff on TV all the time. Like, I know that there are natural parallels and things that aren't necessarily that way. Because, you know, John Moxley is still like people still might call him John Moxley at the grocery store. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's in front of a live audience and all that stuff. But I don't think that, I don't think it was too bad. Was it for me? No, the syringe was not for me. I don't like spots like that, but I didn't think it was too bad.
Right.
No, not at all.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Like,
not my style, but whatever.
There were people that were trying to crap on me on social media saying things like, oh, but the world has evolved. Hockey players used to not wear helmets either. And I saw that. I just thought to myself, this is predetermined entertainment. They can rehearse. They can gimmick the weapons. In the 90s, Stone Cold bled all over the place. He was the hottest star in the business. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't think it was that big of a deal. Now, do I think that WWE would follow suit and do stuff like that? Probably not. Because they are a public company. They have corporate sponsorship. They got PLE sponsors that do every match practically now. So I don't know if they would follow suit, but AEW is supposed to be the alternative. And if you don't like it, don't watch it. But I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
I didn't think it was that big of a deal either. Ryan says, Sean, what's the latest on Becky Lynch, right? Ricky Starks, Motor City Machine Guns, Penta, and Phoenix. Buddy, you're cramming it in there. That much I'll tell you. Becky is enjoying her time off. That
well-deserved.
Yes. In my conversations with both sides, they think that Becky will eventually come back, but she's enjoying her time off. Ricky Starks, he probably wants to be on TV. I don't know what's going on there, but Skull says if the rumors of him rejecting creative are true, could TK fine or freeze his deal for breach of contract? You think talent have freedom to reject creative? I mean, you can't physically force somebody to do it, but I know the one thing that he didn't want to do was he didn't want to beat Big Bill. He didn't think it benefited him. I don't know if any creative has been pitched. I know there had been a little contact between two sides in recent months. I just don't know to what degree and what was said or anything like that. But hopefully they bridge that gap because he's more useful on the show than off the show. Motor City Machine Guns, I cannot convey this enough to anybody. I do not have any information on the Motor City Machine Guns. Literally nothing has changed that I've heard of for months. Don't know what's going on there. Don't know what's going on. You see the video going around of Bryce Rimsberger pushing Jack Perry's leg rather in the middle of the count. Interested on your thoughts. I thought it was unusual. I don't know what he said that the angle didn't show what actually happened.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
I don't know what was supposed to actually happen. That wasn't shared with me. In the moment, I was like, why do you do that?
Right.
You shouldn't do anything but count and then maybe slide your arm or hand under to see if there's
a gap. Yeah.
I hated watching Nick Patrick referee. Nick Patrick would fall to his back and do this.
Yeah.
Slide his arm under and push the person's shoulder up. I did not ever understand why anybody said that Nick Patrick was a good referee. I thought that guy was the biggest ass juice referee I have ever seen. This weak ass count.
Maybe that's why he became a heel ref later on, Sean.
Maybe because he sucked at it.
And I think he was a wrestler so first. I think he was a wrestler.
He was.
First. So
boy, hope he wasn't worse at that than he was at reffing. Oh, BL says, would you consider doing a watch along when Netflix debuts the Vince doc, Jimmy's predictions for your Oilers this year? I will be heading to New York when that drops, but yeah. And listen, I just want to address this. Nut, a live streamer who goes to the same gym as Ricky, says Ricky's going to WWE, or that Ricky told him that. No, he said that he didn't know anything after that. He said that he just reads it on WrestleTalk. But prediction for your Oilers this year, Jimmy?
If they stay healthy and if they address the defense at the trade deadline, they are a cup contender. They went to 7 games last year, so they are a cup contender. We'll see.
Nelson says, could the rumored AEW partnership with Fox be for a one-off main event or one-off event like Main Event or Clash of the Champions type special opposed to an ongoing series? Maybe, but what we have seen out of AEW is that they don't put a lot of care into those types of specials like Battle of the Belts. I hope that ends as well. I don't
ever, Fox, they would.
I don't watch Battle of the Belts anymore.
Right.
At all. But on Fox, they would have to be something special.
Oh.
They would have to have care put into them.
Absolutely. But, I mean, you know what? If it was a quarterly thing, like Saturday Night's Main Event used to be for WWE back in the day, you know, yeah, you load it up. You load it up because that is your opportunity.
Did Sheamus re-sign with WWE? I'm working on it. I asked about it today, actually. Putting live wire on Saturday morning as a kid is what got me and my cousins into wrestling. Yeah, man, I would be watching, you know, Saturday morning cartoons, C-Bear and Jamal, and then all of a sudden I'd be watching wrestling, and that was my perfect morning.
Do you remember when they would do the call-ins? And you would have Sonny there, and then you'd have, like, one of the smart fans call in, call her by her real name. And I think
Tammy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Russo was on as Vic Venom, and they would, you know, ask him shoot questions.
That was wild to me as a kid to see that.
Yes.
I was reading, like, I read Raw magazine when I could get a hold of it, but like I would read the Vic Venom stuff because that was, they would put the backstage news and stuff in there.
Yep.
And they put him on the show, and I was like, oh my God, you put a face to the article and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, that was just next. It was different. It was like a talk show type of thing.
Livewire for me was appointment viewing at the time because of that kind of stuff. And I remember the early 90s. I never read The Observer, so I didn't know Vince McMahon owned WWE back in the day. And I remember watching Livewire one day, and they showed a clip of Vince getting an award, and the person who presented the award to him was Hulk Hogan. And when Hogan did, he referred to him as my boss, Vince McMahon. And I was like, what? That was how I figured out that Vince McMahon was the owner of WWE, was from Livewire.
Hush just says insight on DG and why he hasn't signed yet. They want him to. They're trying. I'll have an update on that. I'll be talking to some people today, obviously, because AEW Dynamite is 3 miles from my house. But
what are your thoughts? I'm sorry to cut you off, Sean. What are your thoughts on MGF going over, and then he's taking a break reportedly? Do you have anything?
Yeah,
on that?
Listen, if he's taking a break and he won't be back until Daniel Garcia's contract is up, there's no reason to put Daniel Garcia over if he hasn't signed.
Got it.
So yeah, that's Abu was right about that. I saw that he had posted something. That is absolutely what I heard.
Got it.
I'll get an update on the Daniel Garcia stuff, and I'll have it for this weekend, as well as some of the AEW meat updates. Pat says, would AEW shows on Fox be internationally available on Triller? Having ad-free shows made me watch TV wrestling again. Sent a Discord message regarding Survivor Series, hanging on an appearance. Not sure if it was an appropriate channel. Yeah, y'all can send me tips anywhere. It would depend on the international distribution agreement. Usually those would be just for a domestic agreement, unless Fox had some international distribution that they wanted for it. Listen, if you got Triller, even if you're in the US, get nordvpn.com/fightful and get that AEW Plus, because I oftentimes, when I'm not watching it downstairs, I'm watching it on Triller without those commercials, and it's helpful. Ryan says, Sean, be honest, how hard did you laugh when Gunther said Bill Goldberg was his favorite wrestler?
Yes.
Wonderful line, Jimmy.
Yeah, oh, I love Brett, it. Did you see the shot of Brett walking backstage when he was getting ready to go out?
Yeah.
He looked like he wanted to be someplace else.
I had reported right before he was under the weather. He was a little sick. They didn't know if he'd be able to do the show.
Right. And I couldn't help but kind of chuckle when, and I mean no disrespect to Triple H, but when Hunter greeted him afterwards, Brett didn't give a damn.
I found that pretty funny. Did you see the thing I posted?
No, I didn't.
You ever seen the clip of Michael Jordan hugging Larry Bird.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he goes, you bitch, fuck you. One of those.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, Brett doesn't give a shit. And the other thing.
No, he doesn't.
The other thing I kind of chuckled about is when he asked Wade where the hard cam was.
Yeah. And that Wade did it. Cool, and he goes, too. Oh, okay. shout out to Kyler, who, you know, was like, I'm probably going to tweet our Bret Hart clips today. I said, yeah, please. And that's my favorite interview story ever, Jimmy, because Bret Hart is, I did anything to get that interview. It was for a animated series called Corner Gas.
Yeah.
And originally they didn't want me to ask wrestling questions. And then I guess Bret's people did some research. They're like, no, take your time as well. Because it was going to be 15 minutes, no wrestling questions. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that'd be okay for an intro, but damn, I can't hype up an interview if I'm just talking about this cartoon. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. Like, I can't, it'd have to be like a surprise drop. But I asked Bret, who does the best sharpshooter? And he said, it's easier if I just tell you who did the worst.
Yeah.
And that was a thing. I was like, I'm going to get the positive, happy Bret Hart interview that everybody's been after. And I was like, man, I loved your El Dandy stuff. Like, you did a lot of fun stuff in WCW. And he goes, yeah, he was great. Wish I worked with him instead of Goldberg.
Yeah. Yeah. And
amazing.
I love the reaction he got. He got a really hot reaction from that crowd in Calgary.
Yeah.
And it was a great thing to see. I love the fact that Brett just doesn't give a shit. I love that about him.
And one of my favorite things, like one of the hardest people to pop or crack a smile out of is Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Oh,
period. Like he's very stoic and like serious. And I told him about what Brett said about El Dandy and Goldberg, and that got a smile out of him. And I was like, hell yeah.
Great.
K775 says, do you think that Roxanne is on the main roster after the Julia program is over? Have you heard anything about a Vacuum debut? I do think that Roxanne will head to the main roster, and she should. Stephanie, I know there was some visa stuff that had to get cleared up, obviously, but they brought in Julia, and I had always thought it would be on the CW, but I actually think it was smart for them to bring her in and then promote it for the CW as well. But I think Vakur, after the CW thing gets solidified and when Roxanne probably goes up.
Julia looked like $1 million with Chelsea, and Chelsea can't put her over enough. I mean, she does everything for the company, you know? That was really good. I want to ask you about the debut. So they're really loading up the debut on the CW for October 1st because they got Roxanne, Julia, they got Ethan Page, Trick Williams, they've got Bianca and Jade coming in, CM Punk, The Miz. I was looking up the CW's viewership because I was curious. Yeah. I don't watch it. I don't even know what channels they have or what shows they have.
They run old Riverdale or did here in the US. Your wife was a fan, yeah?
She was a fan.
My wife was a fan too. I hated it.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. Do you have any idea what the top rated show is on the CW?
I ain't got a damn clue.
Penn and Teller Fool Us is a top rated show. And when I was looking up their rating, they typically do around a 0.07 rating in the key demo, 0.07. NXT last week on USA did more than double that. So yeah. I'm curious, how do you think it'll translate? Because as an American,
I think they'll do fine. Yeah.
As an American, like, because I don't watch the CW and I don't even know if I have it. Is it a channel that's on your radar at all? Like, I have no idea.
I don't know. I didn't even know that Penn and Teller Fool Us was a show. much less, as I'm looking, a show that has existed for like 10 years.
I've seen YouTube clips. Yeah.
Had no idea. Not even a blip on my radar. It'll be fine on CW. Yeah. Their audience will be there. Now, the problem I had with the CW and UPN and my network TV when I was younger, we didn't have a local affiliate. I didn't get to watch SmackDown for the first 5 years that the show was on the air because we didn't have UPN in Cincinnati, Lexington. And we were in a pretty generous area for stuff like that because where I lived, depending on what side of the county you were on, you got Huntington, West Virginia, Cincinnati, Ohio, or Lexington, Kentucky channels. And if you use a good enough, you know, digital antenna or antenna, you could get Louisville as well. We didn't have anything for UPN for years. So, they need something. They definitely need something. But I think NXT will be fine over there for sure.
Cool. I'm curious to see how it ends up. One last thing I want to get your thoughts on. And I'm going to turn it to you because I don't even know where this whole thing came about or where it started. There was stuff online a couple of weeks ago about Swerve Strickland signed his contract extension with AEW.
Yeah.
And there was stuff online about how WWE supposedly felt that it was bad for the business because he's overpaid. Where did that come from?
Somebody Dave talked to. I have not talked to anybody in WWE that would comment on anything like that.
Okay.
I can't speak to who Dave spoke to, but I know Daniel Garcia's name was dropped in there, and Daniel Garcia is like, he hasn't signed anywhere. Mm-hmm. So again, I can't say that I don't know who Dave spoke to or who he says he spoke to, but talent I spoke to are all happy about it. They're like,
of course,
yeah, Swerve should get that.
They're and like, it's great for the talent. Of course.
And the number that I heard is a lot. You know what? I'll put the I'll put the number in the private chat as well. That's what I'm hearing. He got Jimmy.
Good for him. You know what? When I heard this stuff about how WWE supposedly thought he was overpaid, I thought about the time that you talked to Matt Cardona about the prototype, the LGM prototype that I got.
Yeah.
And Matt Cardona said to you, he spent way too much money. That's what he said to you. Or he looked at the camera to address me. He said, you spent way too much money. If anybody has not seen me and Sean going over my LGN collection, go on YouTube and look up Fightful WWF LGN, and the video is there. You mentioned to me in that video how Cardona said I overpaid. And my response to Cardona was, it's worth what someone is willing to pay.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at it. So if Tony Khan is willing to pay Swerve millions of dollars, then Swerve is worth millions of dollars.
That's
how I look at it. And so the idea that he's overpaid to me is bullshit. If someone's willing to pay it, that's your value.
Rob says, put it in this chat. Listen, I usually... respect the, unless somebody is okay or their reps are okay with me putting out the numbers, it's not usually something that I blurt out there. But
and talk about those bullshit numbers that came out on social media a day or two ago.
Brother, what is the deal here? Okay, now listen, I saw, and I'm gonna name and shame him at this point. Like, I saw Give Me Sport do it, I saw WrestleMania do it. And not only that, I reached out to WrestleMania personally and said, man, these are not accurate. Not only that, they weren't citing any sources. So here's what happened. I'm going to tell you guys what happened here. And I'm going to go in reverse. You saw WrestleMania post it. You saw these other people post it. And I was like, guys, these are not accurate. And naturally, people are going to go, well, what are the accurate ones? The reason they're not accurate is because they're not publicly reported.
Right.
For years, I've been working on a document to publish of publicly reported payouts. Eventually, we'll get that on the resources section of Fightful Select. But here's what has always happened. They make some big engagement graphic, and you know, they get like 1,000 likes on it or retweets, and they don't want to delete it because they lose that revenue. They don't care.
Right.
They don't give a shit that it's not accurate.
Right.
Even though I tell them, guys, I personally reported the details of half of these contracts. I know factually these aren't. I have access to their reps. I have access to these talent that are telling me this isn't true. Wish it was true, but it's not true. And they don't care to correct it. They don't care to delete it. They don't care to fix that. So they make those graphics off of a Give Me Sport article. I talked to the person who wrote the Give Me Sport article. He's like, I'm not in the position to tell them no when I write things. I said, fair point. It's aggregated from 888 Sport or something, which is just a betting website.
Yeah.
So what that is them trying to game the SEO system on Google to type in who are the highest paid WWE wrestlers. Then people will go to their bullshit article and then try to, oh, wow, you all do betting? Let me bet here. And they're not as good as Bet Online. AG, damn it. Because they're posting a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, BetOnline AG hits me up. They're like, is this accurate? Drives me nuts. At no point have any of the Forbes articles talking about these are the rankings and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
There was another article that came out yesterday about Randy Orton's pay. Wasn't true. What are we doing here?
Yeah, you're right. It's totally for views and clicks, 100%.
Listen, I hear people say all the time, well, mainstream media needs to cover wrestling. Unlike these wrestling media, there is not a mainstream media outlet that has covered pro wrestling in the last 2 years to a casual degree that I have not had to correct in some capacity, because they don't devote themselves to it. If they devoted themselves to it, I'm pretty sure that they would probably do really great at it, but they don't necessarily have someone like that. I don't know, man.
Yeah, and honestly, where would they ever get these numbers? It's not like a sports franchise where they announce 5 years times. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just completely conjured up.
Is Jay White due for a push in the near future? Can AEW, does AEW not view him as a main eventer? Seems like a candidate to jump to WWE once his deal is up. Buddy, he's got years on his deal.
They went down that road. Yeah.
He was talking with WWE. They ghosted him. He was in main events of pay-per-views. And right now he's hurt. That's about it. I'm sure he'll get his shot again. RJ Suburb says, with the Netflix viewership split 50-50 male-female, do you think WWE is missing a beat by not pushing or putting a bigger spotlight on their women's division in their run-up to January? Thanks for Fightful. I think you'll probably see some adjustments. Like, I would be shocked if Roxanne isn't brought up to some degree. If I were them, I'd try to get Becky Lynch back for that Netflix show as well. I think they're going to go all out for...
I don't think they're doing that bad, to be honest. I mean, Rhea might be the hottest act on Raw, male or female. Yeah. And Liv is really crushing it with her. I think they're doing really well. Bianca and Jade, they're on the other brand right now, but they're always pushed pretty heavily as well. But I think
I'd have all hands on deck for that Netflix show.
I'm sure. I mean, I really believe that their viewership is going to spike when they get to Netflix. So I'm very curious what happens. Yep.
Hopefully our viewership spikes, guys. I might try to call into the post AEW show tonight, but it'll have some guest hosts as well. I will be back for next week's show, and then I'm off to Grand Slam. We have a bunch of interviews here on all of our Fightful platforms. We got TikTok. We got Instagram. We hit 100,000 on Facebook. We got a bunch of arm wrestling videos on our TikTok and Instagram.
I saw that. What was that about?
Oh, it was so much fun. The Black Label Pro Crowning Glory Wrestler Combine.
Yeah.
Like getting to watch like Mandy Rose and Jordan Grace do like arm wrestling. That was so cool. Yeah, we have a bunch of those here on YouTube under our short section. They did collar and elbow tie up.
And it was legit, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was all legit. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw Moose and Hager. That was pretty
good. Yeah. Moose was getting those underhooks in though. Moose was
gassed afterwards. He was spent.
Join Kate, Alex, and Alex tonight, guys. Somebody says Bobby Lashley news. How about this? FightfulSelect.com right now. Until next time, guys, we're out.